Chapter 12. Clostra. Clostra Primus Colony. With a battering crash of iron and cannon and bladed siege shield, the Vindicators rolled through the wreckage of the colony. They came in the wake of the bombardment. The battle tanks were the follow-up to the Iron Warriors' initial charge. The charge that had already turned into a retreat. The tanks, Calcator vowed, would turn the tide. They had before. The Arrakite Doom, the Barban Falk, the Pyres of Olympia, and the Lochos. They had fought on Terra and on Sebastus IV. The blood of loyalists had sunk into the grain of the metal and the joints of the treads. Statues lined the edges of their hulls. They were the representations of saints and generals, the Imperium's heroes of war and of faith. Now they were defaced, broken. Heads leaned back as if to gaze in horror at the brutality of the universe. Limbs were shattered, replaced with barbed wire. They were the trophies of smashed sieges past, and the promise of fallen cities to come. Behind, the demolisher cannons curved massive horns in the image of the Iron Warrior's helms. The guns fired as soon as the tanks approached the remains of the wall. They were siege weapons, designed to reduce defenses to lost hopes. Today they were coming to break a siege. That fact was an offence to Calcator's pride and to the proper order of things. He could not make the situation otherwise through will alone, so he would exact retribution for the insult from the bodies of the orcs. The cannon fire hit the orc advance, four shells simultaneously. The explosion was huge. Scores of the enemy vanished, and the front half of one of the orc tanks disintegrated. Another kept moving, but on an erratic course, enveloped in flame. It was as if a giant scythe had culled the forward lines of the enemy infantry. The bombardment had done nothing to slow the orcs, but now, for a moment, Calcator saw a hole open in their formation. He and his brothers had been forced back to the ruins of Clostra Prime. The bulk of the great company had been using the fallen walls of the central manufactorum as a bulwark against the orcs. Now they pushed forward again. The warsmith headed for the Pyres of Olympia. As he ran, he sent a stream of bolter fire ahead. Orcs fell before him, their heads bursting. A few steps from the Olympia, he slammed into a massive brute whose armor had saved it from his shells. He knocked the orc off balance and thrust his chainsword forward, plunging it between skull plate and jaw guard, grinding through the orc's nose and then its skull and brain. He blasted another foe coming at him from the right while he withdrew the blade from the corpse before leaping to the roof of the Olympia. Varavo and Sisax followed him. Other iron warriors climbed to the roof of the other tanks while the rest ran close, tearing up the infantry. "We're trying to stop the ocean with a knife," Calcator thought. Four Vindicators and the individual strength of the Brothers of the Great Company was enough to shatter the walls of any fortress, but he had no illusions about their position now. Thousands of orcs had already climbed the top of the plateau. Even if the Iron Warriors' counterattack repelled them, the oncoming force was many times that size. The orcs had already landed an infinite infantry. Their heavy armor on immediate approach was no match for the Vindicators, though. Calcator wanted to cripple the orc vehicles and perhaps buy the company time to cohere again. Recreate the wedge, drive into the orc infantry, cause damage to force a retreat. Impossibility was irrelevant. Impossibility was the bloody constant of the Iron Warriors' history. As ever, there was nothing to do but fight. At least their wars were their own now, as were the spoils, and even now they weren't cowering behind walls hoping for the battle to pass, like the bastard Sons of Dawn. The tanks kept firing. After the first great blast, the squadron staggered the volleys, hitting the orcs with a continuous string of explosions. The orcs slowed a bit. They did not stop. The tide flowed around the craters, ignoring losses, rushing to the challenge of the Vindicators.
"All fire on the tanks," Calcator voxed. "Base, maintain bombardment 1,000 meters forward of initial target zone."
Three more orc tanks were gutted. The first of the battle wagons to reach Clostra Prime had traded thicker armor for speed, and the Vindicators' cannons could take down walls wider than the tanks themselves. The battle wagons were big, but they crumpled and burned when the demolisher shells hit them. The orc vehicles had numbers, though. Line after line of them mounted the slope of the colony. They fired back. High explosive flared against the siege shields. Three of the battle wagons trained their guns on the Lochos. Two died trying, but the third flanked the Lochos and gutted it. Over the Vox, Deruo snarled in agony. Kalkator glanced back. Two other battle brothers had been blown apart, but Deruo, his armor scorched black, his left leg dragging, was still in the fight. The Olympia was out in front now. Behind it, the Arrakite Doom avenged the Lochos with a shot that hit the Orc tank's fuel reserves at almost point-blank range. The warmth of the fire washed over the squadron. Kalkator cursed as a shell clipped the top of the siege shield. He leaned forward into the wash of the explosion. It took out the Orc that had just vaulted up from the front of the tank. More of the brutes followed. Kalkator, Varavo, and Sisax moved forward on the roof. They turned their chainswords on the orcs who made it past the pyres of Olympia's sponson bolters. The tank's horns were magma cutters, taking down still more of the foe. The ground was littered with bisected corpses. And the orcs kept coming.
"What do they want with the place?" Varavo voxed. "There's nothing left." "They want us," said Kalkator.
Whatever other designs the orcs might have for Klostra, their targets were now the Iron Warriors. Perhaps the planet had some other value. If it did, that was secondary to the promise of war. Kalkator had used the mortal colonists as loyal bait. He wondered now if the orcs hadn't done the same to him, luring the company in with the illusion that there was a possible strategy here. To the north, the great artillery explosions continued. A curtain of smoke, flame, and raining debris rose between the Iron Warriors and the approaching body of the Orc host. The great company and its vindicators advanced further into the flesh and over the machinery of the enemy. They were almost at the base of the wall now.
"Warsmith!" voxed Ocelax, piloting the Olympia. "Do we descend the slope?"
Kalkator never answered. His command was interrupted by a rolling wave of sound, the thunder of a mountain cracking in half. He looked back. In the distance, in the direction of the base, a volcanic glow lit the deep twilight that passed for day on Klostra. The rumble had a rhythm. Streaks of light cut through black clouds towards the glow, an orbital bombardment.
"Klostra base, report!"
Kalkator voxed. He called three more times as he looked away and kept killing orcs. Silence from the base. And silence from the guns. The artillery barrage ended. Ocelax halted the pyres of Olympia. The curtain faded. The wrecking yard of orc vehicles appeared, and so did the forces that were coming on, the ones untouched by the Iron Warriors' cannons. Four super heavies, tanks twice the size of the Vindicators, their guns with bores as wide as demolishers, but the length of autocannons. As if they had been waiting for their proper introduction, they opened fire now. They had the rate of autocannons, too. And as the boom of greenskin ordnance battered the plateau of Klostra Primus, greater silhouettes yet loomed behind the battle fortresses. Colossi, three of them, greenskin idols 50 meters tall. They rocked side to side as they marched over machine and kin, a manufactorum's worth of smoke belching from the chimneys rising from their backs. Flame gouted from their jaws. Their eyes were energy weapon turrets blazing red lightning. The right arm of each terminated in a hand whose fingers were linked cannons, four strong. The left arm of one was a hammer the size of a tank. The second had a chain blade 15 meters long. The third wielded a claw that could tear the hills apart. Beneath the roars of the engines, the beat of the cannons and the tectonic rumble of the orbital strikes, Kalkator heard another sound. It would have been inaudible if it hadn't come from 100,000 orc throats in unison.
"They're laughing at us," said Sisax.
Why wouldn't they? Kalkator thought through his rage. The orcs were bringing down a compounded humiliation on the great company. They attacked with overwhelming numbers, unstoppable armament, and then outmaneuvered the Iron Warriors. In the gap between realizing the doom of Klostra and bringing his blade down on still another orc skull, he understood that the orcs were sending a message. They were speaking, through the language of annihilation, and what they said was, "Behold what we can do. We are more powerful and more clever than you. You are nothing." If hate alone were a force, he would have incinerated the planet in that moment.
"Pull back," he ordered.
"Where to?"
Cesax asked.
"The mountains. Towards an orbital bombardment? It will be finished by the time we get there," he snarled.
They retreated towards oblivion. Deep into the remains of the settlement, tens of thousands of blackened mortal corpses on all sides, the Vox came alive with the first extraplanetary contact since the Orc moon tore through space into Clostra's orbit. It came from the strike cruisers, Palamedes, and Scythe of Shravan. The gravity storms had destroyed all of the company's fleet at anchor. The two cruisers had been at the Ostrom outpost and had been silent since the initial Vox failure on Clostra. They had not been recalled. Calcator didn't know why they had returned. He didn't care. He interrupted the torrent of shouted questions from the bridges.
"I want the full complement of Thunderhawk's planet side for immediate evacuation of all forces."
He gave coordinates for a position just south of the settlement.
"That moon!"
Atanax on the Palamedes began.
"Do not engage!"
Calcator shouted. The words were toxic. They were echoes of the foulest days of the Iron Warriors past.
"Enemy launches detected!"
Atanax said. Calcator roared at the enemy, and the orcs roared back. The laughter grew louder. It seemed to him that there was mockery in every attack. Every orc that he cut down died with the belief that it, and not he, was victorious. The giant orc machines heaved into sight over the ruined wall. They were on the plateau. The company moved faster than the orc superheavies, but the infantry was on all sides, slowing them down. The orc battle wagons kept pace, pounding the retreating iron warriors. The pyres of Olympia, the Barb and Falk, and the Arrakite Doom moved backwards, keeping their demolishers trained on the foe. Bolter, cannon, and magma cutter tore swathes through infantry and smashed more tanks open. But the waves of the green tide closed over the gaps, and the fire from the orc guns grew more intense. Brothers died. Calcator felt no regret when he saw them fall, but he did feel frustration. The orcs were eroding his combat strength bit by bit. There were no gaps in the enemy barrage now. Calcator could see little but flame and eruptions on all sides. The Arrakite Doom exploded, and then there were two tanks.
"Palamedes, Scythe of Shravan, where is our extraction?" the warsmith demanded.
"Right above you,"
came the reply. Calcator couldn't see the Thunderhawks in the midst of the orc fire, but his Lyman's ear was able now to distinguish their engines from the din of the enemy machines. A few seconds later, Hellstrike missiles screamed onto the orc tanks, followed by the hard rain of multiple heavy bolters. For several seconds, the world vanished completely. There was fire, and there was nothing else. And Calcator grinned, because the flames were on the orcs now, and they were learning the price of their arrogance. He allowed himself that burst of savage pleasure. It lasted as long as the initial flash of the explosions. Then he faced again the reality of defeat, of humiliation, and of the fact that this was not a tide that could be turned by even 100 Thunderhawks. The rate of the orc fire dropped. 4 more battle wagons were burning shells. The Vindicators were moving more and more slowly, providing cover for the Battle Brothers on foot. They no longer had their flank escorts. A group of massive orcs evaded the sponson fire of the Olympia and scrambled up onto the roof to Calcator's left. Before he could turn, one of them grabbed his left arm with a power claw. It squeezed, cracking the ceramite, crushing servo motors. It would have broken his arm had it still been flesh. It hadn't been for 300 years. The change had come upon it. The gods of chaos visiting him with a gift of a string of grasping mouths from shoulder to wrist. He had taken his chain blade to the arm himself, amputating it in his quarters, taking the time to burn the offending limb while his blood poured onto the ship's decking, before he stormed off, still steady on his feet, to find the apothecary. The left arm was bionic now, a thing of metal and barbed ridges. When he didn't buckle, The orc looked surprised. Kalkator swung his bolter around and shot the orc in the face. The top half of its skull disintegrated, showering the roof of the Olympia with blood and brain matter. The claw released Kalkator as the body slumped. He kicked the corpse off the tank and flexed his arm. It moved in jerks, but was still functional. To the rear, the gunships were landing. 3 of the 12 remained in the air, buying time with rockets and shells. The Vindicators slowed to a crawl. Kalkator looked back and saw the first members of the company embarking. He faced forward again and watched time stolen from them. The huge walkers and the battle fortresses were close. The walkers redirected their fire at the Thunderhawks. To the autocannon bursts were added missile launches from their shoulders. The attacks vectored onto a single target. The gunship's pilot tried to evade. 2 missiles hit the starboard wing, shells slammed into the nose, and the gunship dropped. As it fell, a torrent of flame shot from the jaws of the nearest walker and enveloped the cockpit. The Thunderhawk hit the ground with meteoric force. It collided with one of the battle fortresses, the impact fusing the 2 behemoths together. Embraced by flame, they became a mountain of clashing metal, a single being that was the madness and destruction of war. They lost shape. The blasts came, shaking the ground so hard that Kalkator was almost knocked off his feet. Above, a second gunship was trailing smoke, though it still fought. The Olympia fired its cannon through the flames of a collision. It hit one of the walkers in the center of its wide skirt, and the orc titan seemed to stumble, then rocked forwards and came on. Its arms reached towards the Vindicator. Kalkator looked up at the cluster of autocannons aimed at his head.
Off!
He yelled. He jumped to the right. So did Sisax. Varavo was a beat behind. The cannonade caught him. The pyres of Olympia fired back, still operational, but its roof was slag. Some of the debris was just recognizable as Varavo's ruined armor. The Olympia's engine whined, but the tank didn't move.
We've lost guidance!
Ocelax voxed.
Continue the attack,
Kalkator ordered. He cut his way through more orc infantry. The brutes were stunned by the walker's bombardment. Kalkator and Sisax made quick progress towards the rear.
To what end? Hold them off as best you can, brother. This is pointless. Step outside and I'll kill you myself. Follow your orders.
Ocelax cursed him, but obeyed. Kalkator and Sisax left the Vindicator behind. The slow beat of its cannon resumed. It hit the walker again, and this time the Orc Titan responded with its hammer. It struck the Olympia hard enough to make the ground shake again. The orc machinery roared louder, in triumph and anger. Another blast from the cannon, another hit to the walker, but the orcs crewing the monster were focused on victory, not on the casualties they suffered. The hammer came down again and again, and the third time was when Kalkator heard the shriek of compacting metal. The gun fell silent. He was the last to reach the landing zone a few steps behind Sisax. They ran up the ramp to the final gunship, the Meritara. Not all of the Thunderhawks had taken off again. The battle fortresses had demolished 3 of them on the ground. Kalkator didn't know how many troops he had lost in each one. The reckoning would wait until later, if there was a later. The ramp raised as he reached the top, and the Thunderhawk took off. He made his way forward to the cockpit to witness the end. He saw the Barbon Falk join the Olympia in destruction, and another gunship blasted out of the sky. Then they were in the clouds, and though the ship rattled through the turbulence of the atmosphere, there were a few minutes of calm. They weren't welcome. They gave him time to think, to feel the humiliation of the loss scrape at his pride. The Meritara shot up from the clouds. A new vision appeared before Kalkator. Another humiliation, another great power smashing a weaker one. The scythe of Shravan was under heavy attack. Squadrons of orc fighters swarmed around it. From the star fortress came an unending stream of rockets. The strike cruisers' void shields flashed and flashed, surrounding the vessel in an aurora of desperation. Its armaments lit the void with anger. Orc vessels died, and rockets exploded short of their target. Drops in the ocean. There were so many more orcs on the way that the space between the moon and the ship seemed full. The Shravan's death was minutes away.
Make for the Palamedes,
Calcator told Lerontus, the gunship's pilot. The other strike cruiser, more distant from the Star Fortress, was holding its own. The orcs were amusing themselves with taking down one large prey at a time. Not all of them were satisfied with the Shravan. Three fighters came at the Meritara. Their salvos hit hard. Warning runes lit up as the hull was pierced in multiple places. Calcator heard the shriek of atmosphere venting. He drowned it out with his own roar of rage. As Lerontis pulled the gunship up sharply, Calcator grabbed the controls for the weapon systems. The fighters looped back for a second pass.
Straight at them, Calcator told Lerontis. With pleasure!
The pilot's anger was the mirror of his own. Calcator held his fire. Lerontis turned the Thunderhawk into a head-on course towards the orc ships. The orcs misjudged the relative speed of the approach and the smaller profile the gunship now presented. A few shots still hit. Calcator ignored them. He would hold the vessel together with his will if he had to. The orcs bunched closer together, jockeying for the better angle on their prey. Calcator fired all forward armament. Thunderhawk cannon, heavy bolters, and las cannons struck the center fighter. It vaporized. The blast washed over the other two ships. Their pilots overcorrected and collided. The Meritara slammed through the cloud of debris and raced on towards the Palamedes. The other gunships, still in flight, were following the same path. The mathematics of defeat cascaded through Calcator's mind. How many had headed to the Shravan first? How many had been taken out before reaching either vessel? How many, beyond capacity, would Atanax try to take on board? Did he even have to make that decision? We have been besieged, Calcator thought, and our citadels have fallen. The bitterness of the reality filled him with frustrated violence. Had there been a serf within reach, he would have torn the mortal apart just to see the blood. The Thunderhawk was on the final approach to the Palamedes when the end came to the scythe of Shravan. Calcator didn't see what caused the fatal blow. It happened on the ship's starboard, which faced towards the moon. Searing white lit the void. It engulfed the Shravan's midsection, a fist of suns. The bow and stern began to move independently, and the light faded, resolving into a halo of individual explosions. A gap formed between the fore and aft halves of the ship before the bow began a spiral away from the stern. The movement was slow, graceful. The lights of the void shields went dark. In their place, lines of flames, the angry red of infected veins, raced down the bow's length as it fell towards Clostra's atmosphere. The reactor blew, a second wound of light in the void. The reach of the blast was enormous, wiping the near space clean of orc fighters. That death cry bought the Palamedes a bit more time. Calcator dared to think a portion of the great company might extract itself from the system. The loss wouldn't be total. Then he watched the Skravan's bow become a torch as it hit Clostra's atmosphere, and he thought he could hear the laughter of the orcs even here. The Palamedes' engines were going hot as the Thunderhawk docked. Atanax had ordered the run. The ship was racing to the system's Mandeville point when Calcator walked onto the bridge. He joined Atanax at the command throne. The other Iron Warrior nodded to him and vacated the throne.
"The ship is yours, Warsmith," he said.
"For as long as we have one," Calcator thought. The first rocket hits were beginning. The rear shields were holding Strongbow, and the Palamedes was picking up speed.
"Set course for the Ostrom system," he said.
"We can't,"
Atanax told him.
"We've lost it too."
"What?"
"That's why we returned."
His face was a patchwork of metal and flesh, iron replacing the mutations excavated from his skull. Expression was difficult. His bitterness was profound for it to be so apparent.
"We were retreating."
"The orcs hit us there too?"
"No, the Black Templars."
The great company was caught between two fronts. Calcator's forces had lost their holdings. He grimaced.
"Get us to the point and make the jump," he ordered.
"Where to?"
Atanax asked. Calcator didn't answer. He watched the Strategium screens, noting the damage reports as they came in, measuring them against what he knew the ship could take, tallying still more casualties, still more strength leached from his command. The deck vibrated, rocket hits overwhelming the void shields. The sensorium array registered orc torpedo ships in pursuit. The Palamedes accelerated. The Mandeville point drew closer.
"Our integrity,"
Atanax began.
will be enough, Kalkator finished. If we're breathing, we jump.
The other Iron Warrior nodded. If the ship died, it would not be in the sight of the orcs. The moment of the transition came. The writhe of the warp appeared on the primary oculus. The Palamedes was racing through nothing to nowhere.
The navigator will need a destination,
Atanax said.
I'm aware of that.
He stared at the violence of colliding absences and clawed potential.
We can't fight them both, he said.
There was a long silence. At last, Atanax asked,
What are you saying?
That we can't fight them both.